Georgia's DBHDD reminds people that the Good Samaritan Law can save lives during alcohol and drug overdoses. People are urged to call 911 and stay until help arrives. More information at opioidresponse.info.
My name is Kalina Bowler, and I work in location management as part of Georgia's growing film and television industry. On this podcast, we meet the people whose names you see when the credits roll. This is The Credits from Georgia Public Broadcasting. Sometimes in this industry, you meet people to whom you feel a close connection. That was my takeaway when I met casting director Chad Darnell. Chad is also a screenwriter and actor. He recently starred in an Atlanta production of the musical Hedwig and the Angry Inch. After working years in the film industry, we both host podcasts about people who make movie magic. On my show, I primarily focus on the crew behind the scenes. Chad's podcast is called Oh My God, I Love You. On his show, he explores and reveals the industry with a brutally honest take on the inside world of actors' careers. During this season of my show, we've traveled to Savannah, Georgia to learn more about the growing film industry in that city. Chad told me about his major role in that growth.
I got a phone call to cast Magic Mike 2. And at that time, going into Savannah, where we shot the majority of the movie, we had one day on Myrtle Beach.
Okay.
Couldn't cast a single actor from there. And I had to bring everybody in from Atlanta or somewhere else. And we all realized at that point for the market of Savannah was starting to grow as a community. Mm-hmm. And we have to have somebody here. So the Film Commission, over the course of 2 years, begged me to go to Savannah to start growing the market there, to be their on-location casting director. And at the time, that makes no good business sense to me because you have, one film every year. At that point, I was I got to move to Savannah. So I moved to Savannah, and I've been there for 3 years. And helped grow a market where now we're casting 50 to 75% of the talent out of Savannah on projects that I'm casting. I'm happy to be back in Atlanta and doing theater and trying to transition back into that part of my life.
So let's talk about that transition because I am currently working on a show. I talk with a lot of the production office assistants and they are listening to my show, The Credits, and they'll say, well, I'm interested maybe in joining this particular department one day, right? Or I'm maybe interested in doing X, Y, and Z. Should I go ahead and go for it now? Or should I this? I try to explain to people that while you're a production assistant, while you're seemingly on the lowest rung, you can go anywhere at that point. You can assist every department at that point.
Yeah.
Because no one's really expecting you to have a specific skill set yet.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like you said earlier, you've been doing casting for 25 years, you said, right?
Since 91.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's the transition's not that easy.
No, it's not.
Because people know you as casting.
Yeah.
And of course, now you have your name on Cedric and the Angry Inch, but people are still okay, but isn't that the casting guy? You see what I'm saying?
That's exactly what happened. And God bless my agent, Jason Lockhart's my agent.
And, having people in your corner is going to be...
Yeah, because he's having to go in and be like, what about Chad for this role? And the casting directors who know me as having cast in Savannah, the casting director?
Exactly.
And so, I'm going to bring in my competition. And I'm sure some of them are definitely he's not my competition.
Right.
And I'm not. I think that there is that mindset of but we're peers or we're in the same position. And it's no, I really want to do this. I really want to...
Right.
I'll happily take my one-liner on whatever.
Right.
It's not about that for me. It's just as you know, with your job, it's you do it for so long and you feel like you've done everything that you can possibly do with it. And there are people, especially here in Atlanta, Chase and Tara and the Finn Cannons, they have made a career out of casting. This is their life. That is
Absolutely.
What they do. Casting is not my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's paid my bills, but it is not my life. It is not what brings me joy.
Mm.
And it's something I'm really good at. I get joy out of finding that actor or starting an actor who's never been on a set before, and then their career takes off.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiffany Haddish was an extra for me in their eyes were watching God.
Wow.
And,
okay.
I mean, there have been several. I was Dakota Fanning's very first audition 1,000 years
really?
Ago. Yeah.
How about that?
And so that part is fun, mm-hmm. like discovering actors and encouraging actors, or like in Savannah, like what we've done down there, like to take people who've gone from being extras. I have one woman who worked in the sheriff's department, mm-hmm. and now she's a working actress.
Right.
And that's fun. That's fun, but it's not fulfilling to me.
It's all about the balance of passion and, yeah. and you know, making sure you have enough money to survive and,
yeah.
you know, and thrive, really.
Yeah. So, is there something that you would like to do other than Locations?
I'm nodding, like, emphatically yes.
Yeah.
Well, for one of the things I would like to do is what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I love podcasting.
Yeah.
I didn't realize podcasting was going to be a thing I loved so much.
Yeah.
But I've always loved talking to people. I've always loved the idea of learning people's stories and,
yeah.
you know, finding out what's going on. But I also one day would love to get back into acting. I fantasize sometimes that I'm like this fierce, like black woman with this amazing salt and pepper afro in her mid to late 40s, right? And here I go. One day I'm like, I'm retiring from the production world that I know. And I'm wearing like, you know, draping clothing. And it's a whole production, right? It's a show.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Black Panther 4.
Literally, like I'm traipsing into the audition and like, you must, and I do like big sweeping motions with my arms, like, you must hire me. And I don't know where the accent comes from. You must hire me and all this. I don't know. I think that would be fun.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a fulfilling thing for me.
I'm transitioning with I have my own podcast.
That's right.
Like you said about sharing stories, that's the people that are doing my podcast are primarily actors and writers. Julie Benz was my first guest, and she talks about Dexter, and it's so, like, three or four times she says, I've never told anybody this before, and in your head you're like, oh my God, this is going to be so good. And I feel like that's part of my journey as well, because you're still informing and educating people and entertaining people, which I think at the end of the day is my mission. And with the acting thing, same. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, I feel like right now, I've got a couple of scripts that are in the process of, they're at the starting line, they're ready to go. And it's like, all I need is one of them to take off. And I don't have to worry about money for the rest of the year. And at the end right. of the day, in this industry, it does come down to like, I need my bills to be handled.
Right. Like, we have a mortgage or we have
yeah.
rent.
There's rent, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's really, honestly, that's what keeps me going in the industry. It's just the
same.
Bills.
I mean, that's why I've stayed in casting for
pay you pretty well.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. It's like, I need my bills paid. So, again, I'm transitioning out of casting.
Hello.
I didn't say goodbye.
Right.
You know, I'll still take a job until I'm at the point where I can say, okay, I can completely flee that. But
right.
I think you have to make a statement to God and the universe that it's like, okay, I'm ready to start checking out now.
Mm.
I'm ready to do this other thing.
Set the intention.
Yeah, set the intention. And mm-hmm. that's what happened with me. I mean, I booked a TV show that I shoot Monday. And thank you. And I have these scripts that are going. I had four that were viable mm-hmm. as of 2 weeks ago. And there was a company that had one of my scripts, and we're just not seeing eye to eye on it. And I have learned in all of my years as a writer and in these projects where they've lost the funding or now this isn't happening anymore,
yeah.
whatever's happened, I have learned to trust my instinct, and that just because someone says that they're interested in your script doesn't mean that they're the right person for it.
That's right, yeah.
And it takes a lot to be like, okay, I'm just sorry. We're going to have to lovingly detach on this one.
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Right.
I know what I'm doing here. And I hear what you're saying, but I do not agree with it.
Right.
And I think that's a very important lesson for like you have to know what your worth is. You have to know your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been really difficult to be like, I got to take this script away and maybe have to sit on it for a year. But I got these other projects that are going. So hopefully they'll take off very soon.
Oh, yeah. What are some of your favorite movies, Chad?
That I've worked on?
Yeah.
I love Magic Mike XXL. It was, because it was like adult summer camp. I mean, it was
nice.
I mean, Channing Tatum, and he was the producer, he was the writer. Even after we had like finished casting, he was still kind of working roles into the film based on actors that he had seen in auditions mm-hmm. that I had done with improv, and all the auditions were improv with the actors. Selma, we're getting to meet Ava DuVernay on her first project. That was a gigantic
that
experience.
That must have been amazing.
She's a genius. And there's one actor that we cast that we had an actor pinned to the wall, but I knew that there was a better actor that she hadn't seen yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I walked him in, she looked up from under her glasses and she's mm-hmm. like, "Why am I seeing him?" I said, "Because..." She goes, "I already have this actor." She slid the headshot back to me. I said, "But this is the actor you need." And I slid it back. And sure enough, that was the guy. She cast him in the room. She's somebody to this day. Like, we tweet back and forth. And she's incredible.
That's amazing.
There was another film, a really small little film that we did in Richmond called Imperium.
Okay.
That, again, was like adult summer camp. I was coming off one of the worst... the worst project I've ever worked on in my entire life, which shall remain nameless. But it was in Savannah. And it was the worst. Like, I was going to take the rest of the year off. And
wow. That must have been really, really bad.
It was...
the rest of the year, huh?
Yeah, I was done. And so I had flown back to... I was still living in L.A. temporarily at the time, that 3 years. And my assistant in Richmond called me, and she said, "Did you know you're casting Imperium?" And I was like, I'm not casting Imperium. And so I was like, there's no way that's going to happen. Because I was like, I'm taking a vacation. I'm done.
Right.
And it was the Daniel Radcliffe movie where he plays a neo-Nazi skinhead.
Uh-huh.
And an undercover neo-Nazi skinhead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so it was a quiet little film that not a lot of people saw. But for that, oh my God, it was so much fun. Because getting to work with the extras... where I had to cast these horrible, horrible Nazis.
Yeah.
And then the people that they were suppressing, and then watching them eat and communicate and like check in on each other, like, "Are you okay? Are you?" And like everybody making sure everybody was okay. And we all stayed in like this one little hotel in Hopewell, Virginia. And every Saturday morning, it was like Hunger Games, everybody trying to fight for the washers and dryers. And we'd all like eat in the bar of the hotel. And like at 4 o'clock in the morning, people were coming in, everybody's at the bar in the hotel. And we kind of like took over this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a giant dorm. And it was, I was so grateful that I ended up doing it. They ended up paying me more money than I asked for. And that's because I was like, I'm just going to outprice myself and they'll say no. And then I was like, I need to start asking for more money.
Really?
But that was a blast. And then a couple of years later, I got to another little Daniel Radcliffe movie nobody's ever seen. Was called Beast of Burden, where he's in a plane for 90% of the movie. And I was casting a bunch of projects at the time, and they asked me to be the reader for him off camera because he wanted an actor to work off of, and he mm-hmm. knew me from Virginia. And I'm like, I can't be in a soundstage for 2 weeks. And but then... I ended up making it work, but I was in between takes. We would shoot these 20 to 30 minute takes,
mm-hmm.
so it was like shooting little independent films all day long. And I had to play 8 different people opposite him, so it was like Orphan Black, like with all these different accents and characters. Like he'd hang up and talk to this other person, talk. So I was everybody that he talked to offline. And after the first take, I was like, I was completely freaked out, and I was like, I took off my headset because I could hear him, and I was like, I didn't realize that I was going to lead so much of his performance.
Right.
Because he's reacting off of me. And the director, we were getting ready to set up again. And every time that we would cut, we'd have to air out the soundstage because it was the CO2.
Right.
And so I freaked out. And I was like, I'm not comfortable with this. I'm not comfortable with this at all. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I'm leading his performance. Like, we've had no rehearsal. Like, and then Daniel comes over. He's like, that was really great. And I was like, what was great about that? It was like just completely, because it was no rehearsal. It's like we had one read through the day before.
Right.
But I didn't think I was doing all of this work the next day until they were like, what do you mean? I'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, I'm not going to be around tomorrow. They had forgotten to ask me to be there. And so that was a blast for like 2 weeks getting to read opposite him. And
that sounds amazing.
I mean, it was like getting a master class in acting with
I know.
Harry Potter.
Oh,
and
no wonder you were freaking out.
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I was. I mean, it's like, it's not that it was Daniel Radcliffe because I knew it from Virginia, but it was like the fact that this is a really talented little actor.
Yeah. And you are
and
like,
I'm playing eight people opposite him with no rehearsal. So
yeah, I mean that's daunting, but amazing. Yeah. You know? Keep going, man. Your story is amazing.
Thank you.
And I mean, you're giving me some inspiration myself.
Aw, thank you. That means a lot. Thank you.
That was Chad Darnell. He's a casting director, actor, writer, and now podcast host. Definitely check out his show, Oh My God, I Love You. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. And that's it for us today. Our show is produced by Sean Powers, and Don Smith is our editor. The theme music is by MBB. I'm Kalina Bowler. You can reach us and subscribe to our podcast for free at gpb.org/podcasts. If you have a moment, review and rate us on iTunes. We also want to hear from you. Do you work in the film industry? Tell us what you do. You can reach us at thecredits@gpb.org. Until next time, I'll see you after the movies.